In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to St. Benedict's. If you're visiting us or you are a guest on this weekend, we're so happy that you are here. There was a middle-aged couple that were dedicated to farming. And for a long time, they had tried to have children. And the wife was a woman of deep, deep faith and prayer. And she did not give up. And so she kept on praying and asking the Lord that she would bear at least one child so that they could continue the work of the farm. And that went on for years. Well, one day, she went to the doctor and discovered she was with child. And she was very, very happy. And her husband was equally thrilled. But then, something happened. On the day of the delivery, you know, in the old style, the husband waited outside, you know, in the waiting room. And so the midwife was in there delivering. And the husband could hear baby crying and all that and thought, oh, the baby's born, so, you know, maybe I should go in. And they kept telling him, no, just wait a moment, wait a moment, wait a moment. We're not finished yet. And so the midwife finally came out and said, you can come in. And the man soon discovered that he had not just had one child, not two, but three. They had triplets. And so now this woman was holding three babies on her bosom as the husband walked in. And she said to him, honey, did you see? I told you prayer works. I told you we should never give up. And the husband said, yes, it's true. Prayer does work. I just wasn't expecting a bump crop this season. There's another one I have to share with you. And it's about a pastor who decided to extend his sermon. The sermon went on and on one Sunday. I mean, it was just so long. And when he's outside greeting the people as they were leaving, one gentleman walks up to him and says, Reverend, I just want to tell you, that sermon was so refreshing. It was so invigorating. It's exactly what I needed. And the pastor looked at him, really? I thought I was long-winded. I thought it got a bit boring, you know. I thought people were kind of, you know, out of it. He says, oh, no, I just want you to know that when I woke up, I just felt totally refreshed. Sometimes you got to be careful what you pray for because you may get it. I mean, the truth is, Jesus is giving us the story of a judge that was no good. He really didn't care about justice, and he did not care about people, the people he was called to serve. But Jesus uses this story and this example to tell us that even under difficult circumstances, even when things don't seem right, we must never give up. If you think about it, the ideal circumstances would have been that this poor widow, who was alone in this world, probably had a family to care for by herself, that she would have gone to the justice and would have gone to the authorities and would have gotten the support and the help she needed. But that was not the case. The system was not working for her. Sound familiar? The system was not working for her. There was great injustice. And so she kept going back. And Jesus uses this example from 2,000 years ago. Imagine. And she kept going back and going back. And even though the judge was corrupt and did not really care for people, it was her insistence that got him to act properly. What is Jesus telling us today? You know, there are so many, many good examples of people throughout the ages who have taught us the value of what Jesus is really addressing in this gospel. But there's one I want to bring to your attention, which really has gotten to my heart. I'm talking about Wilma Rudolph. Are you familiar with her? Wilma Rudolph was the 20th of 22 children. Listen to me, the 20th. There was no cable TV, no Netflix. The 20th of 22 children. She was from a poor family. And even though that woman had 22 children, she went out and worked as a maid. Imagine. Both the mother and father had very modest jobs. They just kind of barely made it. But not only that, when she was 4, she contracted polio. So for the next several years of her life, she wore a brace from the top of her leg all the way down to her foot. And she walked with a very pronounced limp. She really struggled to walk. Something that we take for granted, most of us. From the age of 4 to about the age of 10, she was practically paralyzed all the time and needed help to get everywhere. But around 10, she was so persevering in her condition and treatments and that she actually got better, was able to get rid of the brace. And at the age of 11, she decided she wanted to play basketball, girls' basketball. So she went to try out. And they told her, you can't be on this team. Impossible. She went back at the age of 12. The following year, she got into the team. And not only did she get into the team, she was so good that a college coach from a nearby college was looking at her one day on the court as she was playing basketball. And he said, I want you to become a runner. I will train you to become a runner. Well, believe it or not, she trained to be a runner. And Wilma didn't just become a runner. Wilma eventually made it to the Olympics. In 1956, she went to the Olympics. Now, at that time, track and field was kind of new for women, but she was there. Didn't win anything, by the way, in 1956. But when she went back to the 1960 Olympics, she was the first American woman to win 3 gold medals. 3 gold medals in track and field. She was a real runner, this woman. When I look at her story, I look at the story that perhaps many of us have faced. A series of obstacles. And every time you get to an obstacle, you have a choice. Give up or keep going. Give up or keep going. The reason Wilma Rudolph got those 3 gold medals, the reason she became the first woman to get 3 gold medals in the Olympics, is because she never gave up. No matter how many no's she heard in her life, she kept going till she heard yes. She didn't give up. That's what Jesus is saying to us in today's gospel. Even if the circumstances sound like no, you keep knocking. Even if it looks like the obstacle's too great, you keep going. Because see, the real line that makes the difference in this gospel is that final line. Did you hear it? When the Son of Man returns, will there be any faith on earth? The reason he told that parable to his disciples was because he wanted to make sure that their faith was strong, and that their faith would be strong enough to make it through all the no's that he knew they were going to face. And I'm going to tell you, we're here in 2016 as Christian worshipers, as followers of Jesus Christ, because for 2,000 years, there were a bunch of people that came before us that never took no as the final answer. They kept going. That's perseverance. That's faith. Let's talk about prayer. What does prayer look like in our lives? Oftentimes, prayer speaks of a struggle. Now listen to me carefully. Prayer speaks of a struggle. A struggle with God and a struggle with ourselves. And what do I mean by that? The struggle with God is that we spend a lot of time in prayer trying to convince God of what we need Him to do for us. Am I right? It's a health issue, or the health issue of a loved one. It's a problem at work, or it's a problem with finances, or it's a family problem, relationship issues, marriage issues, issues between parents and children, children and their parents. We're trying to convince God through prayer of what we need God to do for us. So it's kind of a struggle. Because sometimes we pray and pray and pray for what we want, and we just don't see the answer. And then, of course, there's the other problem. And it's a struggle with ourselves. Because we grow impatient. We say, God, where are you? Then the doubts begin. Oh, you know, those little doubts. Do you remember the old cartoons? I love those old cartoons where they had the little angel on one side, the little devil on the other. You remember? Now, the younger people haven't seen that, but if you look at old cartoons, especially those old black and white cartoons, you'll see little angel says nice things. Yeah, do that. Yeah. And the little devil on the other side, oh, don't do, you know. And we have that struggle every day. Sometimes in our prayer lives, that's a struggle we have. We are not really living as people of faith when we pray, because we are trying to get God to do what we want and how we want it and when we want it. There's always a problem, because we struggle so much accepting the will of God. We forget the words that we say every time we say the Lord's Prayer. Thy will be done. See, what Jesus is saying in today's gospel is, your prayer must be a prayer of faith, must be a prayer that never gives up, must be a prayer that does not accept no for an answer, but keeps going. And yes, sometimes God will say no, by the way. God doesn't always say yes. But we must never give up in praying, Thy will be done. Because when we pray that way, we are saying that we trust in God's way for us. See? So it's a persevering kind of prayer that never gives up. It doesn't stop because of the obstacles that may come. Now, the best contemporary explanation of this that I've seen is from Pastor Bill Hybels. I don't know how many of you know Pastor Bill Hybels, but he's the founder and the senior pastor of the Willow Creek Community Church. It's one of the largest churches in the country. And Pastor Bill Hybels is also an author of many Christian books. Excellent author, by the way. If you ever want to read something good on Christian leadership and stuff like that, you can always find something good from Pastor Hybels. Pastor Bill Hybels said, now for us to get our prayers answered the way that we want them answered, the request must be right, The timing must be right, and we must be right. Wow, that's a problem, right? But that's not always the case. Pastor Heibel continues, he says, if the request is wrong, God answers no. If the timing is wrong, God answers slow. If we are wrong, God answers grow. But if the request is right, the timing is right, and we are right, God says go. That's in Pastor Heibel's book, Too Busy to Pray. Too Busy to Pray. See, prayer is about recognizing that God is the only one who really is in control. In control of the timing, in control of the blessing, in control of whatever it is you seek. God is the only one in control. We live in a society where we hear a lot of contemporary psychological terms. I like to call them pop psychology terms, right? And one of them is, oh, he or she's a control freak. Have you heard that? Oh, they're a control freak. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Control freaks are never in tune with God. Because control freaks are the exact opposite of what it is to live with faith. Control freaks are convinced that they are the ones who call the shots, that they are the ones who decide what is and what is not. Control freaks are the ones who have decided that they are able to manage every situation the way they'd like it. Let me give you an example that may hit close to home. If you think that you are going to control your adult children's behavior on anything in their life, you're a control freak. It's not going to happen. If you think that you can control your spouse, it's not going to happen. If you think that you can control all of the situations that happen at work or that do not happen, get over it. The fact is, as people of faith, if we practice persevering prayer, the kind of prayer Jesus is talking about today, that persevering prayer is the direct result of our faith relationship with God. Thy will be done. See, if we don't let go and let God, we'll never really know what God has in store for us. And so many times, we're praying for things that we think we really need, and God has a better and bigger plan. Have you noticed that? Sometimes we're thinking, this is what I need, God, and I need it right now. Ask for it. Don't give up in asking for it. But don't forget to say, thy will be done. Because when you say, thy will be done, then your prayer is a prayer of faith. It's not like grabbing God by the beard, you know? Do what I want, God. Thy will be done means that I have enough trust and faith in a good God, that I know who my Heavenly Father is, that I know that I trust and believe in a good God, and that good God is always going to be able to provide more than I could ever expect, and always going to be able to guide me in a much better direction than I thought possible. Let me just tell you, to use a 21st century concept, God's GPS is much better than yours. I can't tell you how many times I've put an address to visit a sick person, to go do a house blessing, to go somewhere I'm going for the first time. We're all spoiled now. You got on your phone, right? And you go into your Google Maps there or wherever, and you you put in your address. And you go, I can't tell you how many times the place where I'm going is here, and that thing's been sending me around and around and around and around, right? And it's like, what? Because we trust in technology. We put our We put our trust in technology. We say, this is the best that's out there. So we put the address in. We're sure it's going to guide us there. See, that happens to us. We think we know where we're going. We know the best way, the fastest way. We know the shortcut. And we know that we're going to get there no matter what, because we know God's GPS is always better than ours. What that means is that sometimes you may feel like God is sending you all over the place. And you may be wondering, why is God doing that? Why is God making me go through this detour or that detour? Why am I going up if I thought I was going down? What's going on here? What's this all about? Hey, guess what? Thy will be done. That's what Jesus is telling us. Don't give up on prayer. Don't let the obstacles stop you. Remember that God has a bigger and better plan. And your faith, your trust in God, has everything to do with the outcome. Because when you let go and let God, God is going to line it all up for you. God is going to take you where you need to go. Our job is to trust and to say wholeheartedly, Thy will be done. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.